Scripture identifies three practical steps that we can take toward Christ-likeness. We can't change ourselves, but we can be involved in three activities that God the Holy Spirit will use to make us bear more of the image of His Son. Let me give these to you briefly.
Welcome to The Word Unleashed with Tom Pennington. Tom is pastor teacher at Countryside Bible Church in Southlake, Texas. Hi there, I'm Bill Wright. Today we continue Tom's series in Ephesians 3, How to Pray for This Church. The Bible often speaks of God's people walking or growing in godliness or Christ-likeness. That is, as Christians, we ought to be confirming our hearts and lives to the person of Jesus Christ. But how do we progress in such an endeavor? As the Apostle Paul prays for the Ephesians, he requests that they grow into the fullness of God, which simply means to be more Christ-like. And as Tom will unfold today, there are three specific activities that believers can pursue in order to accomplish this reality. What are those three activities? Let's find out as we join Tom Pennington now on The Word Unleashed.
To be filled with all the fullness of God means to share those attributes of His that human beings can share. It means to be like Jesus Christ, to reflect His character. That is what Paul is praying for the Ephesians. Now, I don't think we understand how important this is. Do you realize you were not saved in order to keep you out of hell? That was not the end goal God had in mind. In fact, the Scripture is clear that if you go back to election, if you go back to God's sovereign choice of you in eternity past, God's decision to set His heart upon you, that was based on a goal He had in mind. And that goal was, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 29, those whom He foreknew, He predestined. That is, He determined their destiny beforehand. And what was their destiny? To be conformed to the image of His Son. When God chose you in eternity past, He decided to do so because ultimately His purpose was to make you like Jesus Christ. It was God's goal in salvation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says, our new self was created as a new self that it might bear the image of God. God didn't save you so you could live however you want, do whatever you want. God saved you with an express purpose in mind, and that is to make you into His image, to make you into the image of Christ. It's God's goal in sanctification, that process by which we become holy. Romans 13, verse 14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Or perhaps better yet, Galatians chapter 4, Paul says this to the churches in Galatia. He says, I am in labor until Christ is fully formed in you. I want you to bear the character of Jesus Christ. It's the goal someday of our glorification, our being made fully like Christ in body and soul. You remember what the Apostle John says in 1 John 3? He says, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should become the children of God. And he says, it's not yet clear what we will be, but we know this, when He appears, we will be like Him. For we will see Him as He is. This is Paul's request, that you and I would bear a moral likeness to Jesus Christ. Now, because this is so important, I want us to briefly consider the other details that Paul cites here that sort of fill out our understanding about this likeness to Christ. There are other details we can glean from this prayer, this brief phrase in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, about bearing a moral resemblance to Christ. Let's look at them together. First of all, this request for Christ's likeness is cumulative. It's cumulative. Notice it begins, verse 19, that. It begins with that little word, that, or in order that. And it's building on the prayers He's already offered. Remember, there are clearly three requests here, but they don't stand alone. They build on each other like the rungs of a ladder. The first rung, the first step, is to be strengthened with God's power in our souls. And he prays for God to do that. And when that happens, we can step to the second rung, to comprehend the love of God for us in Christ. But that's only possible after we've stepped on the first rung, after we have been strengthened in our souls. The third and final request is the top of the ladder. It builds on the other two requests. Our souls have been made strong, and only then can we begin to grasp the love of Christ for us, and we begin to grasp the love of Christ for us in order that we can then be filled with all the fullness of God. So the third request builds on the first two. Think of it as a building. You can't build the third story until you've built, to some degree, the first two floors. The third floor can only exist if there's a first floor and a second. So Paul has been building to this third and final request. It's the climax. It's the zenith, the summit. It's the most important. But it can only be a reality in our lives to whatever extent the first two are true. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't mean that you have to have a perfectly strong soul and you have to perfectly understand the love of Christ before you can start bearing any resemblance to Jesus Christ. That's not what he's saying. It's not what I'm saying. If you're building a building, back to that analogy, if you're building a building, you don't have to completely finish the first floor before you start the second. You don't have to completely finish the first and second floors before you start the third. In fact, that's not usually how a building is built. However, the third floor can only be completed to the same extent that the first two floors have already been completed. And in the same way, you can only be like Christ to the same extent that your soul is spiritually strong and that you understand, that you get it, that you grasp his love for you. So this third request is cumulative. Secondly, it's also comprehensive. Who is this prayer for? Notice what he says. That you. As I noted last time, the pronouns for you throughout this prayer are plural in the Greek text. The problem is that in English you can't see that because the English pronoun you is used for both singular and plural. And there's no way in English to show that you is plural. So Paul's prayer here is for all of the Ephesians, for you all. He prays that every single Christian may experience this. This should be our prayer not only for ourselves, but for every Christian we know. That we would be filled with all the fullness of God. That we would look like Jesus Christ morally. None of us in this life will ever arrive at a perfect likeness to Jesus Christ. But let me say this. If the people around you don't see any of his likeness, then you aren't a Christian. Even the people that hated those first century followers of Christ, they couldn't help but notice that the followers of Christ acted like Jesus. They sought to follow his teaching and his example. That's why the pagan people in Antioch called believers what? Christians. Christianos. Because they resembled Christ. Moral likeness to Jesus Christ is the destiny predetermined by God for every believer without exception. It's comprehensive. So this request, this third request is cumulative, number one. It's comprehensive, number two. Thirdly, it's tentative. It's tentative. Notice the form of the verb here, may be filled. May be filled. In Greek, as in English, there are different moods in which verbs appear. There is the indicative mood. It's the mood of reality. It simply states what is. For example, if I say, I learned English, that's the indicative mood. It's the mood of reality. It just states the truth, the reality. There is, secondly, the imperative mood. It's the mood of command. It demands what should be. If instead of saying, I learned English, I say, learn English. That's the imperative mood. That's the mood of command. Another grammatical mood in both English and Greek is the subjunctive mood. It's the mood that expresses possibility. If I didn't say, I learned English, the indicative, if I didn't say, learn English, the imperative, but instead I said, I might have learned English if I'd studied harder, that's the subjunctive. It doesn't describe what is. It doesn't demand what should be. Instead, it states what may or might be. It's not the mood of reality or command, but of possibility. Now, in Greek, the subjunctive has a particular form, so it's easy to spot. And that's what Paul uses here for all three of these requests. It's in the subjunctive mood. It's not yet a reality, but it's a possibility. Now, what do we learn from this? While likeness to Christ will ultimately happen to every believer, either at the point of death or when Christ returns, it doesn't automatically happen to us in this life. It's tentative. In Paul's words, it's contingent, or in Paul's thought, it's contingent upon his prayer for them and God's response to that prayer. The point is this: don't take this for granted. Don't just assume this is going to march on. You better pray that God will produce in you likeness to his Son. The fourth detail that he adds here about this request is that it's passive. May be filled. May be filled. That's another one of those passive uses of the verb so common in Ephesians. It's a divine passive. We're not told who's performing the action, but the clear reference is to God. God is doing this. God's filling us. In this case, the context makes that clear since this is a prayer. He's saying, may God fill you. This is a work of God. Specifically, this is a work of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is universally identified as the member of the Trinity who applies the work of Christ to the heart and life of the Christian. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're told we're changed into his image by the Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 22, the Spirit produces the fruit of virtues that are Christ-like. In Ephesians 5, 18, the Spirit fills us and then produces the behavior and attitudes of Christ. So filling us with the fullness of God or making us like Christ is something that God must do. You cannot do this. You understand that? You cannot make yourself like Jesus Christ. This is something God has to do, that you may be filled, and God must work by his Spirit. Number five, this request is progressive. Progressive. Notice how he says it, that you may be filled up to, or literally filled into, all the fullness of God. The idea here is that this filling doesn't happen all at once in a moment's time. It's like filling a pitcher with iced tea. You do it slowly. It fills from the bottom up. There is a process involved. It's a gradual process of growth that's described here. It's movement toward a goal. It is a slow process. But eventually, for every Christian, it will happen. I don't know about you, but I find it very easy to get disappointed about my own heart and life and my own conformity to Jesus Christ. How little I actually look like Christ in terms of how I think and how I act. Holy discontent is a good thing, but we can't be unrealistic either. We're in this for the long haul. Let me encourage you to do something if you ever get discouraged as I do. Something that I do occasionally, when I find myself getting discouraged about how little I look like Jesus Christ, for a moment, I stop looking forward at what I ought to be, and I turn and look back at what I used to be. And thank God that while I'm not even close to what I someday want to be, by his grace, I'm no longer close to what I used to be either. Likeness to Christ doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen over a month or a year or even a decade. This is a long process, a slow process of growth. Be content with where you are spiritually today, but don't ever become satisfied. Paul prays that we would be filled up to all the fullness of God, that we would bear his image, that we would reflect his character. It's really a prayer that we would be like Jesus in the moral qualities that were true of him. And folks, this is so important. This is in many ways a wonderful and reliable test of the genuineness of your faith. Ask yourself this question. As I hear Tom talking about this and resembling Christ and how I think and my attitudes about life, my attitudes toward other people, what I say, how I live, the priorities in my life, I want to be like Jesus Christ. Do I really want to be like Jesus? Ask yourself that question. I'm not saying, do you want to be rid of a particular sin or a particular habit or a particular problem in your life? There are lots of unbelievers who would love to be rid of one particular controlling sin or habit or trouble. That's something entirely different than truly wanting your whole life to have the stamp and image of Jesus Christ, to think like he thought, to speak like he spoke, to act like he acted, to live as he lived. Is that what you want? That in your deepest heart of hearts is what you want? If you don't, then don't imagine for a moment that you're truly a Christian. Whatever prayer you may have prayed, whatever may be in your past, confirmation, whatever habits you may have done in the past, whatever, however often you may come to church, however often you may read your Bible, this is the truest test. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, there is no truer test of a person's faith being genuine than a personal, overwhelming desire for holiness, that is, for likeness to Jesus Christ. If you really do long to be like him, then it's a good test of the genuineness of your faith. And if you are a Christian, you understand that only God can make us like Christ. You understand that. But are there responsibilities that you and I have in this process? Are there ways that we can cooperate with the work that ultimately only God can do? Scripture identifies steps that we can be involved in. Scripture identifies three practical steps that we can take toward Christ-likeness. We can't change ourselves, but we can be involved in three activities that God the Holy Spirit will use to make us bear more of the image of His Son. Let me give these to you briefly for you to think about, meditate on, and practice this week. Three activities that God will use to change you into the image of Christ. Activity number one, intercession. Intercession. Prayer. That's what Ephesians 3 is talking about. What's Paul doing? Paul wants these people to be like Jesus Christ. And so what does he do? He prays. You understand how important this is? If this is something only God can do? Have you ever asked God to do it? I don't mean once. I mean on an ongoing basis is your prayer, God, conform me to the image of your Son. Let me love like he loved. Let me hate the things he hated. Let me live with the priorities he had. Intercession. Join Paul and pray that God would fill you with his fullness. The second activity, there's intercession, number one. Secondly, observation. Observation. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. This one may surprise you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you want to be like Jesus Christ, Paul describes how right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Paul writes, this is one of my favorite verses. I hope you'll commit this one, if not to memory, at least you'll make it an important one and meditate on it and think about it. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, notice he's talking about all Christians now. He includes himself, Paul does. We all, every Christian without exception, with unveiled face. Now in the context here, he's been talking about that before Christ, people's face was veiled from really seeing the glory of God in the Scriptures. That's no longer true. In Christ, the veil's been removed. So we now can see clearly. But we all of us Christians with unveiled face are beholding as in a mirror. Now, the idea here, the emphasis here, is not on the fact that a mirror reflects your own image. In the ancient world, mirrors were not made out of the same materials we use today. Most mirrors were made out of polished metal. And so to really see them, and you've done this perhaps with the back of your iPod, that's my favorite mirror if I need it, you look at yourself, you got to get it close to see that image. That's the idea here. More than reflection, it's getting it close. It's an intimate look. So we all of us Christians, clearly looking into Scripture, are beholding closely and intimately the glory of the Lord. The glory of God. The character of God. In fact, down in verse 6 of chapter 4, we learn that the knowledge of the glory of God is found in Christ, in the face of Christ. So what he's really saying is, we take the Scripture and we look closely at it and we look at God. We look at Christ. We stare, as it were, at the qualities of God and the qualities of Christ. And as we do that, he says in verse 18, we all are being transformed. The Greek word is the word from which we get the word metamorphosis. If I can coin a term, when we do this, when we stare at God in the Bible, when we look at him, when we think about him, we are metamorphosized into the same image. We're changed into the same image we're looking at. From one level of glory to the next. from one minor resemblance to Christ to a little greater resemblance of Christ to a little greater resemblance of Christ, and on it goes through life. Folks, if you want to be changed in the image of Christ, begin with intercession and follow it up by observation. Commit yourself to staring at God, at the qualities that He betrays and portrays of Himself on the pages of Scripture. Number three, imitation. Intercession, observation, and imitation. You want to be like Christ? Imitate Him. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, Paul writes, in light of the commands I've given you, be imitators of God as beloved children. You know, our young children love to copy their parents. They don't always do it perfectly, but you can find them there, you know, next to you, even my little girls trying to shave, you know, as I'm shaving. They want to imitate. That's what Paul's saying. I want you to imitate your father. Copy him. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ has loved you. Copy Christ. Do what he did. Live like he lived. Try to play out in your life the way Christ acted toward people, the decisions he made. Imitation. If you want to be like Christ, you can't change yourself into his image. But these are three activities that if you'll engage in, the Holy Spirit will use to change you more and more into his image. Intercession, observation, and imitation. Christian, take a hard look at yourself in the mirror. Can you honestly say that you are more like Jesus Christ today than you were a year ago this time? Can you honestly say that you're more like Christ today than you were 5 years ago? If not, why? What are the reasons? Are you failing to pray for Christ-likeness? Are you failing to stare at Christ and God and the Scripture, at their character? Are you failing to attempt to imitate those things that are true about our God that we can imitate? Resolve to do what you can do, and then pray that God will do what only He can do. Oh God, fill us with the fullness of your character. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this incredible request. We would never have imagined to pray this ourselves. If you had not shown us Paul's example, if you had not urged us to do this. But oh God, we do pray that you would fill us with your fullness. May your character fill us, and may we live it out. Father, may we resemble you in terms of those moral qualities that are true of our souls. May we look like Jesus Christ in the sense that we love as he loved. We hate what he hated. We speak as he spoke. We love and serve you as he did. Oh God, work this in us. Help us, Father, to pursue these things by intercession, by praying that you would do it, by observation, by staring at you and your Son as you've revealed yourself in the Scripture, and then by imitating what we find there. But God, we acknowledge that we can do all of that and nothing more because you have to change us. We pray that individually and as a church, you would do that. May we more and more bear the image of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those here who don't bear that image at all and who are painfully aware of that because you've made them aware of it. Lord, help them to see that it's as simple as being willing to turn from their sin and in faith putting their entire lives in the hands of Jesus Christ. To follow him, to love him, for him to be their Lord. We pray it for the glory of Christ so that they can begin to bear his image and bring him glory. Amen.
That's Tom Pennington here on The Word Unleashed with part 12 of his series, How to Pray for This Church. Tom will have part 13 for you next time, and we do hope you'll join us then. But Tom, before we close our time today, how about talking about the ultimate goal in the Christian life, the goal that Paul prays for in Ephesians 3?
You know, we all understand that the ultimate goal of all things is the glory of God, including the Christian life. But how does that happen? What Paul wants us to know here is that the way you and I chiefly bring glory to God is when our characters reflect that of Jesus Christ, when our moral characters are like His. We must be like Jesus Christ. This isn't optional. You see, for those of us in Christ, the divine character belongs to us. This doesn't mean we can become gods, but it does mean that we've been given the capacity through His Spirit and through His Word to reflect the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul prayed for the Ephesians, and that's my prayer for you as well as for me.
Thanks, Tom. Remember to connect with us on social at The Word Unleashed. And now for Tom Pennington and the entire team, I'm Bill Wright. Thanks for listening to The Word Unleashed, exalting God's glory, explaining God's truth.